What's up, everybody, and welcome to the podcast, Dog Mom Mentality, where we strive to play with dogs and not emotions. I am your virtual bestie, Caroline, and I have my furry friend here, Layla, and we are going to give you a break from your day to talk about all things dogs and emotional well-being. If you have ever been emotionally affected by your dog, then this is the podcast for you.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Dog Mom Mentality Podcast. I am laughing because Layla heard me plug in my microphone, get my voice ready, and she decided it was time for her to stop her nap and come in here with me so that she could join me in recording this intro on the podcast. And now she's chewing on a little treat. Little girl. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being here, listening to another episode. Today's episode is all about being more intuitive and self-aware as a dog owner. I'm talking to one of my favorite accounts on Instagram, Fur and Ferns. Her name is Valerie, or Val, whatever you want to call her by. I called her Val, so I'm sure it's fine if you call her Val too. And she is just such a light, such a joy. I always love watching her stories. I feel like if I lived in Eugene, Oregon, I would be literally best friends with her. So to tell you a little bit about her, Val lives in Eugene, Oregon with her two dogs, Mona and Griffin. Mona is a rescue bully and Griffin is a mutt made up of mostly northern breeds. He is a very big boy. Both are around 5 years old. And in addition to living a loving and adventurous life with her two personal pups, she runs and owns multiple businesses that focus on the well-being and support of both dogs and their humans in her community. She and her team of dog crazy girlies provide thoughtfully curated training, walking, and events for dogs and their humans. Both in her relationship with herself and the dogs she interacts with, she implements intentional routines and believes that self-awareness is key to wellness and alignment. Literally, like, could this, I mean, basically, besides the, like, running my own business with, like, dog walking and dog training, like sometimes I see her on her Instagram stories, and I'm like, if I lived in the Pacific Northwest, that is who I would want to be. That's who I would want to be friends with. That's the life I would want to live. That's the clothes I would want to wear. Like, literally, I love her. I have a girl crush on Val, guys. Her community that she has built up is so similar to the Dog Mom Mentality community, so I am sure everyone who is listening is going to get so much out of this episode. We go into a little bit about awareness, being more intuitive, a little bit about how our cycle controls our energy and how that affects how we interact with our dogs and how we interact with nature, and different ways we practice being intuitive and trusting ourselves. Literally so many just kind of like subtopics are talked about in this episode that I find so interesting. And I'm really glad to start bringing in some of this more, I want to say, like, intuition talk onto the podcast. Before we dive into this episode, I did want to share my happies and crappies for this past week. So I'm going to start off with my crappy, and that is with Layla's allergy. If you follow on my Instagram stories, then you've probably seen that Layla had allergies. They got really out of control this time last week, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday-ish. And I think it was just escalated because I had started giving her Benadryl to try to help her itchy paws, but that actually ended up drying out her eyes, her face, her nose, snout area. And so she was starting to really rub it, scratch it, and it was starting to become scabby, and it just wasn't great. And I could tell that her behavior was like feral. I don't know how else to describe it. It was just like a very chaotic energy. Like, I don't think I've seen her that like alert or on edge or agitated since probably like 3 years ago, like whenever we were first started our training. Like, it was a lot of those like similar, like really on edge, alert, agitated, just like, I don't want to say bitchy, but like kind of bitchy behaviors. Like that's how we describe it to, you know, me and Bobby. He'll be like, you know, how's Layla doing today? And I'm like, she's kind of being a bitch. But in reality, what I mean is that her mood and her behavior is, you know, off the charts in terms of agitated, reactive, just on edge. And like, those are things that we want to take care of, right? So I realized that it really had to come down to, you know, her allergies and then the Benadryl making her face extra dry. So I decided to, you know, reach out to you all and then also call the vet. I talked to them. I knew Apoquil was an option. And that's what the majority of people said on in my messages and my DMs as well. So I kind of took all of the recommendations that people gave me. The three main ones were Cytopoint, Apoquil, and personalized allergy shots or solutions, which required like a blood test and different like immunology testing. And then there were other recommendations that were either done standalone or in pair with one of the three main like medical solutions, which was the Apoquil, Cytopoint, or personalized allergy shots. And these other things were either done standalone or done with one of those or a combination of multiple things. And that was like the paw wipes, the medicated baths. There were some different supplements. So I made this big list of recommendations and I put them in a story highlight called Allergies. So if you are ever, you know, wanting to learn more about that, learn about your options and see what other people recommend, then you can go to my story highlight called Allergies. And I have a screenshot of all of the recommendations along with some links to some of the supplements that people suggested. My happy for the past week is that I officially launched the Dog Mom Mentality Mentorship Program, and I am super excited because I am about to hop on my first one-on-one call with somebody, kind of like a discovery call, a connection session, to see how I can support this person, see, you know, what they're going through, give them guidance, see what habits we can tweak, what thought processes we can tweak. I believe on their form, you know, they mentioned that they are really struggling with their confidence and then their self-talk and thought processes. So those are some of the things that we're going to be focusing on. But I'm really excited to dive into this connection session with this individual and then move on to the one-on-one mentor coaching aspect of it, which is where we're really going to dive into some of the bigger things that we can tweak, some of the confidence building exercises that we can do, some of the things that we can track, accountability, and literally just overall how we can make this person's life more intentional, fulfilling, more aware in dog ownership, but also as a human. If you missed this big announcement, the Dog Mom Mentality Mentorship Program is your opportunity to find guidance and really explore your blind spots in confidence building, self-talk, boundary setting, thought processes. There's so many different avenues that we can explore, but it is your way to help you find your blind spots in those areas as a dog owner in a one-on-one setting. If you are like me, then you've probably gone through moments where you've thought, you know, you're not capable to handle your dog. You're not capable to manage your dog or own your dog because of their reactivity or behavioral issues, or you've been at a point where you are feeling isolated and alone because of judgment from others or judgment from yourself. Maybe you are sitting on judging yourself for judging yourself about the shame or the guilt that you are experiencing or the laziness, quote unquote laziness, that you might be doing at the moment. But is it really lazy or is it you actually taking a break so that you can fill up your cup and go out and experience the world a little bit better and with a little bit more clarity with your dog? You know, have you ever been in a moment where you are struggling to communicate your boundaries and advocate not only for your dog, but for yourself as well. There's this pipeline that comes from learning to advocate for your dog and then learning to advocate for yourself as well. Not to mention the amount of us dog owners who realize that we are reactive human beings due to our reactive dogs. There's so many things that we can talk about in this one-on-one setting, and I'm super excited to provide this guidance and this coaching for you from lived experience as a reactive dog owner, as a person with anxiety and depression, and really nurture you through this journey, but also challenge you so that you can step up to be the best owner for your dog. But at the same time, you're also going to become a better human because, as we all know, a lot of the aspects that we have in dog training or in one area of our life, like the negative thought processes or the boundary setting, also carries over into other areas of our life as well. If you are ready to make mindset shifts and see what areas you may need a little bit more training in your dog ownership journey, then you can head to the link in the show notes titled DMM Mentorship Connection Session, where you can book your free one-on-one discovery call, and then we can dive into other areas after that. All right, I am now going to hop off of my very excited soapbox so you can listen to this really great episode with Val. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Dog Mom Mentality Podcast. Today, we have a guest on who, if I lived closer to her, I swear to God, she'd be my best friend. I think we would, like, always be spending time together, and I just live vicariously through you because you get to hang out with dogs all day, and you live in the Pacific Northwest, so a very warm welcome to our friend Val.
Thank you.
Yes, very excited to have you on. So I talked a little bit about, you know, you live in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon, which is like, if we just could pack up and move anywhere, we would be there. So yeah, you live in Oregon and then you play with dogs all day and walk dogs all day and hang out with them and do some training. So if you could just tell us a little bit about you and what you do and your dogs, I think that would be a really fun intro and we can all just live vicariously through you for a hot second while we hear about your typical day.
Awesome. Yeah. So my two dogs, I'll start there. Griffin is my guy. He is 5 years old and he's a huge mutt, mostly northern breeds, lots of shepherd, husky, malamute type stuff. He was my first personal dog and I'd been working in the dog industry at like daycares and kennels, but he was the first one that was truly mine. I did really want a rescue, but I was a student. I was living in an apartment and nobody would approve me. So mm-hmm. I ended up getting him through a friend who ended up having a litter. And then we rescued my next girl together. So he saved me and we saved the rest after that. So I got him and he has been a blessing and a handful and he was just a magical creature. And then I was working at a rescue locally and really wanted a bully. I always knew I wanted a bully forever and ever. And then we had one come into the rescue I was working at. And her and I just clicked, and the gal who runs the rescue was like, hey, I think this is your dog. And so yeah. I was like, you might be right. And at the time, I was like, I don't know if the timing is perfect, but it almost never is. And then I was able to take her home, and she ended up being the perfect fit. They are just absolute opposites. It's very yin-yang. But it gives me experience handling all types of dogs. I don't know if you can hear Griffin deciding to have some water right now, but.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a dog podcast, so we exactly. Welcome all of the dog sounds here. Oh, and you have your Bad Dog Mom shirt on.
I love the
vibes.
I do, yeah. I had to get in the mindset. I was, you know, I was telling you earlier, but I was out of the cafe today, and so many people said something about my shirt. They loved it.
Yes, yeah. I always get comments like that, too. It's always like, what, like, you have a bad dog, or, like, you're a bad dog mom, yeah. And then I, like, have to explain it, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, I, like,
I love that, you know, it kind of sparks the conversation. And I think you kind of said that too whenever we were chatting earlier.
Yes, yes.
So, okay, exactly cool.
Yeah, so I've got those two. They're the best of both worlds. And then I own a dog walking and training company. And we kind of specialize as far as our outings in those in-between dogs that aren't quite right for daycare, but are a little bit too much for your average Rover walker. Like the reactive pups, the pups who are a little bit nervy, but still need to get out and experience things, and their owners have busy schedules. So we are able to be an extra person in their life that they become comfortable with and can gain confidence with. So I do weekly outings where I see the same dog every week, and we kind of do something different each time I see them. And then we just rolled out our training services, which are really, we're calling it holistic lifestyle training, but we're just really focusing on how people want to live with their dogs. Are they understanding their dogs? Are their dogs fulfilled? And just guiding them through that in that lens, which sounds kind of similar to the one-on-ones that you are rolling out as well. I'm just kind of taking that.
Yes.
That viewpoint of, you know, how does your relationship feel, and
exploring
that together. So that's been really fun, and we've had a lot of success so far. I think we just opened that up just over a week ago, and we've had quite a few inquiries. So things are really exciting.
Oh, that's awesome.
That world. Yeah.
So that's like, that's going to be in person for you though, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we're doing like a 4-session package, which is in person.
That's amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've been going to, you know, different training seminars and workshops. You went to one, the one with Pack Life LA that I was super jealous about because it's so nice. She has like yoga and a sound bath. And at this last one, she had like a tarot card reading. And I was like, oh, that sounds so cool.
She is, I mean, just the coolest person on the planet. And it's like, not often that you meet your idols and they are exactly who you thought they were. And she is. Like, she is just so real and so just, her energy is just amazing. And it just cracked me wide open going to that workshop. And the energy has just lasted and lasted from that experience. It's been so good.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you drive down there? Because that would be a pretty long drive from Eugene.
Yes. So me and my teammate, Alicia, drove down together, and it was a 6-hour drive.
That's actually not that bad. I thought it would be way more than that.
No, well, this was, we got lucky. We originally signed up when it was in LA, and then she moved it to a town called Oroville, which is way closer to us. So it was going to be a 12-hour drive, and we got lucky. And it got
okay, that sounds more like it. I was like, there's no way Eugene is 6 hours away from LA.
No, oh my gosh. I would be there going to all the dog things all the time if that was the case.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, well, that's lucky that it ended up that way.
Yeah, it was very lucky. Although I would have loved to really see nice. LA for sure. I haven't made it over
there. Mm-hmm. Totally. So besides that, tell us a little bit more about you, Val. Like, how old are you, if you don't care sharing? Like, have you always lived in Eugene? I'm just, like, personally super curious.
So I am 26. I'll be 27 next month. I actually grew up in the Midwest. I will not be going back.
Yeah.
But I would visit my dad in Oregon over the summers, and he's a mountain man, and I just fell in love with the moss and the forest and the clear water, and I was just, every summer, I just got to be a little fairy girl, and it just made my heart so happy. So 4 days after graduation, I was like, see ya cornfields, never again, and I just zipped on over here, and I've just been establishing a life here and exploring and taking every moment I can to just be outside. I think I've been here for like 7 years now. I moved here in 2015. Mm-hmm. Math is not my thing. But even now, like after being here for that amount of time, like anytime I see mountains on the horizon, it's still breathtaking because growing up, flat nothingness everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So like that appreciation for just the beauty here never, ever fades. And so, I'm 26, almost 27, grew up in Illinois and will be an Oregonian for the rest of my life, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, it sure does sound like it. And that's so cute that you just like grew up being a fairy, like a little outdoorsy fairy. See, that's very different for me because I like love the outdoors now. I love like going outside, being in it. But growing up, I did not have that experience at all. I was very much an indoors person. I danced growing up, so a lot of my weekends and evenings were spent at a dance studio. And, like, it's not that I had an aversion to it. It was more so I just, like, didn't do it and my family didn't do it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just, like, always outside and doing my little fairy stuff.
Yes. No, it's, I mean, it's kind of similar in that, like, I would only see my dad for, like, 2 weeks a year. So it that was my little pocket of magic. Other than that, I was playing my DS sitting on my trampoline. Like, it was, I was not out. There were no hiking. I'm growing up with my mom, my sister, and my grandma. It was very indoor-focused activities, going to the movies, things like that. But I always was conjuring up ideas of running around the woods
with
some type of wolfy creature and just being free and fairy-like. And now,
I mean, that's Griffin. I was gonna say that's Griffin. He doesn't like look like a wolf, but he's like that big, like just hairy, furry. Like, I'm sure he's really cuddly. Is he cuddly?
He is, until he gets too hot. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I actually reached out to you because I caught you on live one time. You just like had gone live. I think you were like maybe walking some of your client dogs and you were talking about how what you do with them kind of depends on your energy, like where you're at, you know, just energy levels and your menstrual cycle, what's affecting you. And then you were also kind of considering like the dog's energy levels as well, like, you know, what kind of mood are they in? And I just felt like it brought this sense of awareness and like intuitiveness into dog ownership that I guess have like, you know, thought about a little bit, but the way that you were talking about it, it just like clicked for me and it made so much sense. And I was like, oh, this like seems so simple, but you know, even I catch myself all the time, just day in and day out, just like in the same routine of we walk here and then we play and then we do this, and like it doesn't like flow sometimes. It's very more like structured routine. And I have found, you know, keeping with that flow helps us. And then, you know, just taking the time to slow down and check where I'm at, check where Layla's at, you know, maybe check where the environment is at, check where Bobby's at before like we do an activity, it just makes like a world of difference. And that's really what you were doing, and it sounds like you practice this all the time. So I wanted to have you on and talk about, you know, just be more intuitive, be more self-aware. So what are some of the ways that you check in with yourself and practice self-awareness before taking a client or taking your own personal dog out on a walk or with training or just interacting with them? What does that look like for you?
Well, I really based the whole business when I started it around intentionality. I really wanted everything I did to have the space to be individualized for myself and for the dogs. I don't love repetition, and I believe in variety. And living somewhere where there's too much smoke in the air from wildfires or too much rain or it's just too hot out or whatever, like the weather we get is just really diverse. And then handling a diverse group of dogs, I wanted to make sure that every time I pick up a dog, I've communicated to the owners through, you know, the brand that I've built, that I'm going to be really aware of who their dog is, what they need, how I'm feeling, how they're feeling, and base each outing on those things. So I am always obviously taking consideration the weather, and then I consider my body, how am I feeling? So back to that, like the topic of like menstruating. For me, my toughest time that I notice that I really need to make things easier on myself is luteal, like right before menstruating, right before bleeding, like those 5 days beforehand is when I am the most exhausted, the most irritable. So I make note of that and I encourage my team to do the same. We're very open on this topic. It's like, okay, my back hurts today. I am not going to do well if this dog is going to be pulling me everywhere. So we're going to go to a park. I'm going to bring a blanket. I'm going to bring a snuffle mat. And we're just going to watch the world go by together. And I've communicated with my clients that this is the type of service they're receiving. It's just going to be something a little different. It's always going to be beneficial to the dog, but we're not an exercise service. I'm not here to get your dog in shape. I'm not running them. This isn't like hardcore obedience training. We just have a relationship, a friendship, and understanding. And so when I pick up a dog, I check in with them. All my owners are really great about messaging me and being like, we went on a huge hike this weekend. You may want to take it easy. Or a lot of them are like, well, feel free to use our patio if you just want to hang out and stuff like that. So I've created that type of environment and just type of service where I can be that way. So yeah, I check in with myself in the morning. I look at the dogs I have. I consider the week they've had and the things that they might prefer. Sometimes we go to Goodwill and we just go thrifting together.
Dogs are allowed in Goodwill. I did not notice.
Yes, they are. I have a good collection of stores that I frequent probably way too often. and that's just something that I know I enjoy. It's good exposure for them, depending on the dog. And we're able to practice downs while people walk by and, you know, baby talk them and, you know, whatever happens when you're out and about. So yeah, I check in with that, see where I'm feeling with my body, where they're feeling, and we base our outings on that. And I encourage my gals who walk for me to do the same.
Yeah, I love that. And I especially relate to the like luteal phase and menstrual phase part of it too, because I just got off birth control. I think I'm like on my fifth cycle post hormonal birth control, which is like,
what a journey,
a huge win. Yeah. And I'm like now at the point that I'm really able to tell like where my body's at in the cycle. Like the other day I was really anxious, and then the next day I was super tired, and then today I'm still kind of tired. So like I do think I'm in that more luteal phase, and I check my app and it kind of, you know, matches up with that as well. And so these past 3 days, like with Layla, I had your episode coming up, so I was like already kind of thinking about this stuff anyways. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, like what would Val do? Like what, how should I treat myself? Like how should I interact with Layla? How is this going to look different? And so, you know, we would play, but like it was a very cooperative game of fetch. So like I would sit down and she'd bring me the ball. So it wasn't me up and running and doing a lot of things, just because I legitimately didn't have it in me. And we have that relationship where, you know, we can have that kind of more cooperative play. It doesn't always have to be like a possession game and running around and super intense. So I'm really thankful for that. But then, you know, just like our outings as well, like in the morning, I take her for a walk, and I typically do a little bit of a different route every day. And some of the routes, like I know, are more triggering. Like we walk past a dog and like that dog is always barking at the window, or like this house typically has a kid that's outside at this time of day. And so like I know that, you know, that route's a little bit more triggering. So I kind of judge, how am I feeling? How is she feeling? And then I'm like, okay, like we're both feeling a little on edge already. Like let's not take that route. Like let's not intentionally put the pressure on ourselves, which is something that I used to do a lot just to kind of like prove that we could do it.
Yeah. You know, I got off birth control a few years ago now, and my reasoning was because I wanted to understand myself more. I really, really wanted to know what was going on and just understand my body and feel connected in that way. And it has been so beautiful, that awareness in like just preventing negative self-talk and taking some of that pressure off. Because if I know that these days are coming up, or if I'm feeling kind of funky and I can check my app and be like, oh yeah, this is where I'm at. That's why I'm feeling that way. I don't suck. I'm not lazy. You know, my body isn't out of shape today. My body's working hard, and this is just where I'm at. And then I can set myself up for that way. Like I love to pack really good lunches when I know that I'm going to be hungry and bleeding and stuff like that. So I'll make sure to do that. I'll make sure to leave early if I know that having a cute coffee and a pastry is going to make me feel better that day. I'm going to make time for that. I really try to build those little moments of just like delicious joy in as much as I can, because it just helps to cope with life so much. And I know it makes the dogs enjoy their time with me more if I'm feeling that way and I'm doing
something.
So yeah, the awareness of exploring your own cycles and where you are at is just such a kindness to yourself and everybody else in your life, including the dog.
Totally. Right, right. I totally agree. Just like learning more about yourself in any way, shape, or form. Even like I have been digging in a little bit deeper into like astrology and human design, and like even learning about that kind of stuff, I think is really fun to see how we can pick that out and like, you know, see how some of that comes out in dog ownership, or like why I am this way, or kind of utilize some of the strengths that you can find through looking at those things, you know, whether it be astrology or like an Enneagram test. I know that's a lot more popular than astrology and human design nowadays, I think. But yeah, I think all of these different ways to learn about yourself, including your menstrual cycle, if you're, you know, off birth control, that's like such a beautiful way to see how you shift and flow, especially since females or people who menstruate are on a, what, like typical 28 to like 30 day cycle instead of the male is every 24 hours, which that to me is crazy.
That is nuts. That is nuts. I know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so, so crazy. So kind of off topic a little bit, but you were talking about your business, and I take it that you walk or have multiple dogs at the same time. Is that right?
Sometimes. It depends.
Okay.
We don't advertise pack walks. But if we end up with a couple clients who I feel the energy would match up well, then I'll reach out and be like, hey, would it be cool if Charlie and Kyla walk together or whatever? And most of the time the owners are like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. And, you know, people love when they get pictures when their dogs are with their friends. So we have a few dogs that we've linked up and that we walk together when we can. But I really do love the one-on-oneness because it allows me to give just a really individualized experience and be there with that dog and meet their needs.
Right, right. That makes sense. I was going to ask you, like, how do you handle the different energy styles, the different behaviors, you know, if one dog has reactivity, like how that kind of mixes with other dogs. But it sounds like you really think about that a lot before you actually put two or more dogs together in a scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, if I think that it's going to be a challenge, I'm probably not going to do it. That's not what our outings are for. I mean, yes, we do work on neutrality and we, you know, address behaviors and stuff, but I'm not here to like super challenge them necessarily. Mm-hmm. Now that we're doing more training, and I've been talking with some of the gals on my team about us meeting up together with different dogs who need more of that type of exposure, having a few extra hands to do those kind of combinations will be wonderful. But for the most part, yeah, I'm all about prevention and setting everyone up for success. So for the most part, if I'm not confident that they would enjoy walking with other dogs, then I'm probably not going to do it.
Yeah, gotcha. And another thing, if you don't mind me asking, I know at one time you posted either on your story or on Instagram that like you just like don't care how people train their dog. Like, I guess somebody asked you like, are you a balanced trainer? And you're like, I'm really glad that you don't know. Like, that's the goal, is for you to not know. And I don't remember like the rest of it exactly, but I just remember you being like, I did my job because you have no idea like how I train, what I do. And so do you always, you know, just kind of keep like an open mind to anything and everything in the dog world and with your clients?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So, I worked heavily in daycares to start and like boutique pet stores. And in my area and just in general with those types of services, it is pretty heavily force free, and like reward based, which can be great. But I found, in my experience, it was often limiting. And then once I got into rescue and was exposed to dogs who just had, you know, more challenges or needed more leadership, I was exposed to different methods. And through that, and then owning my own dogs and seeing just so many owners who, you know, aren't dog crazy like me. They just get a dog because they want a dog in their family. And then they go to the first trainer that pops up on Google. And then they think that is all that there is out there. And maybe they end up feeling, you know, unhelped or hopeless or shamed by the end of it, and then they don't really know where to go for other resources or know there's other options. So that's another big thing that started what I'm doing. And that's my other job, the communal canine. We really mm-hmm. focus on bringing together resources for the community because, like, yeah, my sole belief is I don't really want to label my training style because it's going mm-hmm. to depend on the owner and their dog. I mean,
right.
humans and dogs are crazy diverse. And then you combine them and it's just the mixture of people and learning styles and lifestyles and all of that is just wild. It's crazy. So to say that you have one method or one tool or one thing that's going to work for every single pair out there just to me is the most bogus and crazy thing I've ever heard. So yeah. I'm like, how? This does not compute. So I just think there's a lot of beauty in encouraging people to build their own toolbox and learn about their unique dog's needs and acknowledge the life that they want, not just, you know, watching one Instagram video and being like, oh, this person who lives here does it like this. That must be the way to do it. Like, you've been having those podcasts about the difference in just the location you live with your dog and the things mm-hmm. that are available and the etiquette that's required. So that alone, I think, is enough reason to be like, there needs to be diversity in training, and trainers need
right.
to have resources and multiple options for people and support them in their journey, uncovering what works best for them rather than coming into it, you know, shaming people or saying this is the only way or, you know, what have you that we see so frequently. Like I said, I really started in the forestry world and then I kind of transferred into the balance and I was like, okay, these labels just aren't working because it really depends on the dog at hand. It even depends on how my dog's feeling that day, what we're going to mm-hmm. do, which tool I'm going to use, all of that. So, I mean, I most frequently use a slip lead and treats and a calm energy. But if we're out doing some off-leash stuff or I know we're going to be in a really challenging area where I need to help him with his mindset, I'm going to be using my e-collar. And he's been trained on that and, I understand his working levels and all of that. So, you know, we've used a prong in the past. We've done this, this, and this. And I, from experience trying those different things, not having a terrible experience with any of them, but just realizing what works for each of my dogs and the dogs I've worked with, I just really try to acknowledge and put out there that it doesn't have to be one way. You can find the way mm-hmm. that works for you. And that is
right.
the beauty and having a unique relationship with another being is that you guys get to explore that together. So
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love when people are like, what kind of training do you offer? Yeah. What the hell? Like, I love what you do, but I don't know what it is. And I'm like, why do you need yeah. to know what it is? Like,
I know. I love that. I think it was a reel because I like am picturing it now with like the text on it and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, that's awesome. Like, I'm so glad that she got that question because mm-hmm. she just had to literally be like the message behind the Bad Dog Mom shirt is just like empowerment and embracing like whatever you do, however you do it, whoever you are. And yeah. in that moment, I just was like, yes, like she is like rocking that confident empowerment. Like she knows who she is. Like she does not have to explain herself. Yet here she is just like doing it flawlessly. I just remember like Thank being so you. Proud in that moment.
Yeah. No, that was a fun reel to make. And I love reposting it sometimes because it is a conversation that comes up often. But like really outside of the Instagram dog world and the actual like daycares and things I've worked in, the owners that I meet with, they have no idea what balance or force free or anything
mm-hmm.
is. They just see me right. walking or they meet somebody whose dog I walk and they hear good things and they're just like, hey, help me out. And they just, mm-hmm. it's energy based. How do I make them feel when I talk to them? How does their dog feel in my hands? You know, do they feel heard? And that's all that really matters to them. They don't really care about the tool I'm using or, you know, how many certifications I have or anything like that. It's really about, am I heard and are they helping? And that's mm-hmm. what matters to me as well.
Right. You seem like such an intuitive person with like you're so aware of your energy, you're aware of, you know, how others are feeling. And so I'm wondering, do you have any intuitive practices that you do to just like tap into like your intuition and your trust on a regular basis? And like, has it built trust like in yourself over time? Because I'm sure with all the different dogs that you're handling, like they're going to throw curveballs at sometimes. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, I love curveballs. yeah, like I mentioned, I don't like anything stagnant. I don't like, I mean, I love to have rituals, but I don't love routine, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I really kind of hop around. I always check in with myself when I pull up to a dog's house in the car before I get out and grab them. Big fan of box breathing. So if I need to do, mm-hmm. need to do a few, sections of those for in, hold, for out, hold. That is definitely a really grounding practice for me. I am a big fan of sun. So if I need to take a minute and close my eyes and, like let my vision go red because I'm in the face of the sun and I just feel that up, that is really grounding and helps me to check in. I'm working on my journaling. You are a huge inspiration for that. I am a chronic journal thrower awayer.
Yeah.
I love to judge my journal entries and then throw them away. So that's something I'm working through. I love tarot readings. So that goes back mm-hmm. to intuition.
I was going to ask if you do any kind of tarot.
Yes, I love tarot. It's a big one. I go to that one when I feel a little disconnected from my intuition. If I need to just have something put into my face, like, girl, look at this. This is what's going on. So that's mm-hmm. when I turn to my decks is just to, and even if it doesn't align specifically with me, it forces me to sit down and be like, well, what, how could this relate to what's going on? And it just helps me to go inward. So yeah, tarot, box breathing, and nature is just a huge one. I try to really have a lot of moments of quiet and stillness with birds and sun and leaves and smelling the flowers and all that, like, really cliche stuff that I really think makes life so sweet. So those are my favorite practices.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that you interact with nature by yourself versus with your dogs?
This topic could be a whole nother episode. This one gets me riled up. Okay, so let me just say that I really thought that getting dogs was going to make nature more enjoyable, and in a lot of ways, it has not. So, mm-hmm. so both of my dogs have had some forms of, like, reactivity and things like that. Like, Griffin is dog selective. He does well with most dogs, but we need to have a good neutral greeting. So a lot of the trails and things like that around here that I used to go to solo all the time. I swear since the pandemic, everybody loves the outdoors now. So all the places that I used to have for myself are just always packed. So for me, I love going out. There's nothing better than when I'm somewhere and I know I'm the only one there and my dogs are free and I am free and we are just moseying along together at their most natural trot and taking everything in. But it limits the places I can go. It limits what I can mm-hmm. do. If I find a cute little, first of all, any kind of critter that sees us coming is gone before I see it. So I don't get to see nearly as much wildlife, which is a bummer because I love that. But if I come across, like, a cool mushroom or a little snail or a salamander and I bend down to look at it, next thing you know, my dogs are right there, you know? And so it's like, no, don't eat the mushroom. Leave the salamander alone. So, like, that, it takes that portion away sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, I can put them in a down and I can send them away or whatever, but that's just not the vibe I'm on when I'm trying to enjoy nature.
Yeah, because in that moment, you're like, you're alert. You're like, oh, wait, no, get away, get away. Like, it definitely, like, takes your nervous system from, like, calm, focused to, like, scattered a little bit.
Yeah, when you're with your dogs, there's a level of awareness that you like, mm-hmm. I think I've heard people just refer to it as being on. So I have to be on mm-hmm. all the time when I have my dogs, which means I'm scanning the horizon. I'm making sure they're not bothering wildlife or if another hiker is to come into our range and I need to call them back and leash them or whatever. I'm not able to just let all my inhibitions go and be there with a little patch of dirt. I have to be everywhere all the time when I have my dogs. So I've definitely just this past year made a pact to at least once a month go into nature without them, which is so hard. It just always feels so wrong to drive away and down a forest road and to not have my dogs in the back. But I'm always so grateful I did it because I just get to just be less on edge and more present. And I mean, it's a different type of presence, because obviously when you're with your dogs, you're very present, and that awareness is a different type of energy. But when I get to just tap into the energy of the earth rather than my dogs, it's so, so healing. So it is, it's very different. It's a different level of awareness and a different level of presence when they're with me or when they're not.
Mm-hmm. Are there any ways that you try to, well, I guess you said, you know, before you go into work with a client's dog, you know, you take a moment to, you know, be in the sun, like, you know, smell the flowers, like kind of those like small little things. Is that something that you do daily that you like try to, you know, intertwine with your rituals? I don't want to say routines, because you said you hate routines, but more so your rituals.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and there is so much beauty in routines. I just know, for the type of person I am, I'd like change.
Right.
I love change.
Right.
So I'll
and
have,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, yes, I mean, that's, I mean, really who I am is those small moments. My whole, that's the reason I do what I do. It's so that I can be outside with a being and feel connected and take those moments. Having that freedom equals my happiness. If I am stuck in a job where I do the same thing every day inside of a building while the sun is shining and like the birds are chirping, I'm in hell. So I really thrive on the freedom to go pick that dog up and be like, where are we going to go today? I haven't been to this park in a while. It's beautiful today. Let's go there. And when I'm with the dogs and between seeing them, I am always taking time to, yeah, just soak up a little bit of sun or listen to that bird and try to find it. Like, where is that coming from? And take a moment to see if I can spot them and stuff like that. That just keeps me, just my mind really healthy, and it helps me to not sink into all that clutter that can really take up the backdrop sometimes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, all those little things are a part of everything I do. And like I said, even just picking up a coffee or stopping by my favorite little local like snack spot and getting something yummy and taking a moment to like savor that. I don't know if you've heard of like savoring as like a lifestyle, but that is my jam. So
yeah.
I love that. And I think that's how dogs live too. They really mimic that. And that's, I think, a huge reason why I'm so drawn to them and why I love spending my day with them, is because they're going to stop and look for where that bird sound came from and gaze at it and wonder. Like, moments of wonder are just so amazing. And sometimes it feels like there's none left in the world. But if you just stop for a second, there is a ton all over all the time. So,
yeah, I was actually going to say, like, do you think that being just more aware and slow living is correlates, that's the word I'm looking for. So like slow living and awareness correlates to more curiosity.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, definitely. It correlates to a lot. It definitely allows you to be more curious and find the magic and stuff. You know, as silly as that is, that's just, it's how it feels if you're able to just kind of slow down and curate your life to make those little moments, whether it be what you're having for breakfast or the bandana you picked out to put on your dog or the cute tree you decided to sit under at the park. Like, it's not for the gram. It's not for the aesthetic. It's for me, and it feels good. And, you know, it makes for some good Instagram stories, but like in reality, that's the way I want to live. I want that to be real to me. And so I've just built my life around that, and I encourage people to do the same with their animals, because dogs are such a beautiful guide in showing us how to, yeah, just connect with the world around us and to slow down. And like, even those really energetic, crazy dogs, they are in that moment and they are so stoked on this silly, stupid thing, like trying to get their ball out from under a bush. And it's just like, those moments are just the most meditative to me, because there's so many distractions all the time. But when you're able to just focus on something, whether it be trying to find the most sparkly rock in this random pile by the river or getting your ball out from under a bush, like,
yeah,
it's special, and it can be special if you just let it be.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking too, like, you know, just having this kind of curiosity can just lead to, you know, a more open mind, which can be so beneficial when, you know, training your dog or working mm-hmm. with dogs, handling dogs in any capacity. Because like we said earlier, there's just such a variety of ways that you can do things. And if you see it through, you know, a narrow lens, then you've cut off part of that curiosity, part mm-hmm. of that wonder of what could happen if you maybe tried this one little thing.
Yes.
And so I think that's, you know, something to really keep in mind too, is like just how dogs explore all the options to get to the ball underneath the bush. Mm-hmm. You know, we can explore different ways to do things yes. with your dog. And that doesn't have to be with training either, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm just coming to find out how many people, which I mean, me included, I definitely didn't realize that like searching and stalking and consuming were types of play. And now I have that knowledge, but you know, I'm talking to a lot of people right now who don't realize that those are different types of play. And it's just like, you know, you have to keep your mind open and be a little bit curious about the other ways that you can interact and play with your dog besides tug and fetch, which is like the basic things, right?
Yeah.
Just like different ways, because people can get really discouraged if their dog doesn't tug or fetch. And it's like, well, there's other ways that you can play. You just, you know, didn't know, or like maybe you weren't open to it yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Curiosity and openness to nuances and allowing yourself to change your mind, your life, is, I mean, really necessary, especially when you're living with a dog, because as we all know, sometimes you don't get the dog you thought you were going to get. And so you have to be there, just like a parent who was hoping their kid would be the quarterback and instead they run the chess club. Like,
yeah.
you have to be open to who your dog is going to show you they are, and then finding the things you enjoy together if your vision isn't working out. And that does not have to be, you know, a heartbreaking and discouraging thing. If you bring curiosity into it, it can be really fun and really beautiful learning about each other.
Right, right, totally. You have experience with handling all sorts of dogs, mm-hmm. a little bit reactive. You kind of even said that like you're for the in-between dogs.
Yes.
And you say it's changed your perception of the world working with, you know, this large variety of dogs, mm-hmm. especially reactive dogs. So what are some of the ways that you've noticed this perception changing? And are there pros and cons to having this different point of view?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm working a lot right now. I think my biggest personal project as a handler and an owner is my own reactivity. It's gotten, mm-hmm. I have become the reactive dog in a lot of ways. Like I hear a keys jingle and I'm like, make a left, U-turn. Like I'm just, I'm so practiced in, well, between being in rescue and daycares and boarding facilities, I have seen a lot of the worst case scenarios firsthand. And then owning two what I would consider sensitive and somewhat difficult dogs, I've also, you know, had experiences in that realm, which has built in just a touch of trauma, you know, a touch of reactivity and
lowercase t trauma.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So there are pros and cons to that, because I know that it's a strength in that when I take on a dog, the owner is comforted by the fact that I am very aware of my surroundings,
mm-hmm.
and I am just going to avoid things anytime I can. I see a dog coming this way, we're going to cross the street, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And that allows me to operate very safely, but it also does keep me in a reactive and sometimes somewhat negative view of the world. And so I'm really working on trying to find a middle ground, because like I said, where there's a strength in management and prevention, also I want to be able to loosen up and allow things to play out sometimes and allow good decisions to be made and allow for things to, again, change my mind. And I want to allow myself to be curious. I don't know if you know about Oregon Tails at all, but they, they're a local, training type outing. I don't know, they're just like in their own world, they're super unique. But I listened to a podcast by them recently, and they were talking a lot about just the amount of like animosity towards off-leash dogs and dog parks and, you know, the way people are dealing with their reactive dogs. And while I love advocating for our dogs and being as safe as possible and respectful of others, there was a time when dogs kind of just did their own thing and things were a lot more relaxed.
Right.
You look at other countries and the way that things are done and it's different. So there are other ways, and we don't always have to feel so negatively when we see a dog on the trail or when somebody says they go to a dog park. And I'm working through that because I'm definitely on the end of, you know, hell no to the dog park and put your damn dog on a leash. But like, also I want to loosen up in that sense. So it's something that I'm definitely working on. Breath work helps. Learning to trust my dogs. The workshop with Sam was really awesome. I got to bring one of my pups in and she was just like, let her make more decisions, because I would just get her out of a situation so fast. And she's like, slow down a little
bit
and see what decision she makes. You're there. You're supporting her. I'm here. What's going to go wrong? Just chill. And so I'm really calling more of that into my perspective. So it's made me really proactive. It's made me great at reading body language. It's made me a very safe handler. But I do really want to work on softening up in that sense. And I think that was really aligned with my vision of the diversity of dogs and people and lifestyles that we can live with them. So I want to be true to that in that way.
Yeah, I love that. And it's a topic that I've been thinking of here too recently, this like playing it safe and like constant manage mm-hmm. versus letting go of control a little bit and letting your dog make the decision. And I love what you said that Sam told you, which was like, you're there, you're supporting her, like mm-hmm. see what she says. And in my mind, I'm so quick to, well, if I let go of control a little bit, like, well, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And that's such a good thing to think about. Like, you're still there. You're still supporting them. You can still step in, right? I had this whole thing of, you know, I just recently watched my best friend's dog, and he is like an 8-pound toy poodle. He is so small and feels so fragile to me. And so I was really cautious of like, I'm probably not going to let him and Layla interact. I'm going to keep a gate in between them. There's going to be a physical barrier the whole time. And the first, I think it was like 2 days, it was like that. Just, you know, they were separated by a gate. I was giving them both treats because he's a little bit scared of big dogs as well. So like mm-hmm. as much as I had to work on Layla with her neutrality, I had to work on Sunny with just like his confidence around a big dog who barks loud because that's something that in the past he hasn't liked. And so I was, you know, kind of managing both of them in that sense. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to let them outside in my backyard, pros to living in the suburbs. I'm going to let them back out for, you know, like 5 minutes. I was like, max 5 minutes. I just don't want to go past that.
Yeah.
And I had thought to myself, I was really, really managing Layla. And honestly, her obedience around him impressed me so, so much because she was very focused on me. But at the same time, you know, I was constantly giving her a treat. I was constantly, you know, throwing a treat in the opposite direction. I was trying to redirect. I was trying to basically just manage, but like through obedience, right? And it was all working well. But I thought to myself, like, I wonder what she would do, like, if she had her own choice, mm-hmm. right? Because in the moment she was doing well, right? And she was making me proud with her obedience, but like she wasn't really being allowed to make her own decision. Mm-hmm. Like, what would she actually do? And it was kind of like, okay, this is good. I'm very content with how this is. And then I let her, you know, have a few seconds to see what she would naturally do without any real direction. And in that moment, she made great decisions. And so my mood just went from like, okay, this is good. This is, you know, I'm content, to, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe she's making these good decisions. Like, I'm ecstatic now. So, like, letting go of that little bit of control and, like, putting, you know, some trust in her and it not being this, like, constant state of management, yeah. like, took us from level 10, which I thought was good, to, like, level 100, which is, like, great, and I never knew that we would even be there. Yeah. And so this, like, idea of, like, letting go a little bit, but you're still there. Like, you're still mm-hmm. supporting yeah. them. I think that's such, like, a good way to, like, think about it, and it's something that you have to work up to, obviously. Like, I'm not just yeah. saying, like, go do this willy-nilly without any training or, like, engagement work or anything, but you know, you have to get to that at some point. And when you've saw the world through this lens of negativity and the world is scary and I have to be on guard, it's really hard in those moments to give up that control and see what happens.
Yeah. And then for an intuitive person who's aware of how their energy affects their dog, we also have to acknowledge, mm-hmm. well, if I'm always assuming the worst or preventing the worst, then I'm always like, ooh, what if this happens?
Right.
You know, that's going right down the leash to my dog. So mm-hmm. I need to, yeah, make space and find a balance. Like, that's, like you were saying, we're not saying to just go out and let dogs be dogs, you know, and just let stuff play out.
Right.
But when you acknowledge who your dog is, when you've put work in with them, when you know how to manage and read their body, it should be somewhere that we're working towards to kind of take some of those barriers away and let them mm-hmm. Explore and use those things we've learned to right. expand our lives together. And that's not to say that there aren't going to be cases where we have to manage forever, and that's okay. That's totally
right.
Okay.
And it's totally okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, even still, you know, that was like day 3 where they had a little interaction and I was like, wow, she made great decisions. Like, that's great. Mm-hmm. Then the next day, you know, they were together for a little bit longer and I was like, she's making good decisions. That's great. And then like the day after that, I was like, ooh, she seems like a little bit nervy and like on mm-hmm. edge and like, there's more sounds going on outside and like Sunny seems a little bit more on edge. Like everyone's getting a little bit restless because it's, you know, been 5 days together and it's just a different environment for them. And I was like, okay, so today I'm probably going to manage a little bit more. And so like, that's what I did. And then like, it was fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And it all goes back to like, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I think that's really beautiful. And that's really the goal for me, is to understand my dogs and to have trust in myself to where I can some days manage a lot, sometimes manage a little, and determine who we're going to interact with and what we're going to do with our day based on that. And it's okay if it's a little different day to day, because that's the reality of being a creature on this floating rock. So every day is a little different. And you know, if humans have cycles, dogs have cycles, right? We're all so much water. Mm-hmm. We're all ruled by the moon, right? So
right. I mean,
it makes sense that all of us are going to be fluctuating. And just the goal for me is to be as in tune with that as I can be and to be kind mm-hmm. to myself and to them in the process, regardless of what our day ends up looking like.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, we've talked about so much, and I know that we've talked about fur and ferns and the communal canine a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you just kind of want to like wrap up and say about them, especially for the people that are listening that are in the Pacific Northwest, they're in the Oregon area in Eugene and Springfield, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. In the Eugene and Springfield area, that, you know, they can hear this and tune into what you're doing, how to contact you, how to like get involved, and really what to look forward to with the communal canine.
Yes. Yeah. That's the one that's really exciting. Because that will, our intentions are for that to be beneficial to people all over the place. So the communal canine is like a community-based situation that I started with a gal here. Her name is Jen, and she has been running the doggy daycare out of her home for years and years, and now she does canine massage. So we both saw this like stagnant, really black and white energy arising in our local dog world, and her being really invested in wellness as a massage therapist and me being invested in diversity and variety and resources due to the variety of owners that I've worked with. I was like, we need to be the middleman. We need to create a space, a community, a website, a membership, something where we just invite everybody locally, regardless of their training methods, regardless of all of that, to one space where there is no judgment so that owners can have access and figure out what works for them. And so that's what we're doing. We started hosting events. We send out a newsletter. And the hope is that eventually we can have a location that's like a community center, essentially, where people can come, trainers from out of town can come and offer workshops. We can have seminars on nutrition, on wellness. We can host yoga classes just for humans. We can host all kinds of just fun wellness, education, resource-based offerings in one space without the labels, so that the community has access to those things. Right now we're doing community events and newsletters, working towards and raising money to open a facility to where hopefully we can invite people from out of state so that our community has access to more. And then that can be found currently on Instagram, and we're working on a website. And then Fern Ferns, my walking/training services, are also on Instagram. We have a Canva site, which is in our bio there, and I think you can find us just on Google as well. But we are currently have a few more spots left. have a few more spots left for weekly walking clients. And then we just rolled out our training services. So we have some space for that. And then we have one virtual option. So if you really feel like there isn't something out there that aligns with the mindset that I've shared here today in your area, I do fulfillment guides, which is where we meet up and chat over Zoom. And then I put together a cute little virtual booklet on how you can fulfill your dog and some routines you can implement and rituals you can implement that are based on the two of you as unique individuals. So Instagram is my main spot for sure.
Awesome. I did not know that you did that fulfillment guide, but that is a super great resource.
It is. I have been struggling to describe it, honestly. I've had it available for a while. I've done two of them so far. And they're a lot of fun. They're super individualized and awesome. And you just kind of get to have an open conversation with me. And then I put together some training resources and, you know, dietary changes and spiritual practices that you can implement based on what you've shared with me. But so yeah, you and I are super aligned on that front for sure.
Yeah. I love that. That's like super helpful for new dog owners, I think.
Oh yeah. Like I just think, especially when I was working in like pet stores, people would come in and just be like, I got a dog. What do I do? Like they don't even know what to do with themselves in a pet store. That's just not their jam. And it's hard for me to relate to that because I'm just like, every new product that comes on the market, I'm like, I got to try that. Like, I love dog stuff. But there's a lot of people who are just got a dog to be a part of their family. And it's just kind of a dog to them, which is okay. That's where I come in. So it's really great for that type of person who doesn't maybe understand the depths of the breed that they're living with or the different tools and toys and games and sports that are out there that might apply to them. And so I can do that, you know, dirty work for them and then present it to them in a cutesy little guide. So that's lots of fun.
Yeah. That's great. That is great. And let's see. Yeah. The other thing that I was going to say is just like the little virtual workshops that you've been doing. You've had one on nutrition and let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that you've had because I see them coming up. So what are some of the workshops that you've done and like what ones do you have coming up, if any?
So we hosted one that was on like gut supportive herbs. I have a wonderful friend in the community. Her business is called Amisha Wellness. And she makes different like teas and herbal blends for dogs and their humans, that are just supportive of all parts of the body and mind. And so we have her come on and share some about gut health because, I mean, it's such a hot topic right now on how that affects so many things. So we did that one. And then we just did one on fostering with, the rescue that I volunteer at and used to work at, because I don't know if you've seen the situation with shelters right now, but it's just insanity and so sad. And so fosters are really, really needed to help that situation. So a lot of people are on the fence about fostering, don't quite understand what it entails or how they'd be supported by the rescue. So we had somebody come on and share the details of that. We're putting those workshops on pause for the rest of the summer and hosting local events just because it seems it seems like people just want to be outside right now. They don't want to do the Zoom webinars and stuff like that. So, but we're always making connections and working towards starting that back up in the fall. And we are really open to hosting anybody who has anything to say about their relationship to dogs, the relationship to wellness, to mental health, all of that stuff. And just creating a library that eventually we can have a membership and access to for people who just want all that goodness available to them.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that makes total sense. And especially, you know, just being outside right now and doing some of the more local community type stuff.
Yes.
I think that's, you know, I mean, it just makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone wants to be at their farmer's market on a Saturday morning, not in front of their computer.
We only get so many, like, I was going to say months, but really weeks without rain. So we gotta really soak it up when we can.
Yeah, you gotta maximize that time. Totally understand that. Okay, I want to end with my last question, my favorite question, and that is, what does having a dog mom mentality mean to you?
Oh my gosh, I love this. I feel so starstruck right now. I've heard you ask that question so many times. So having a dog mom mentality for me, from a holistic and intuitive viewpoint, which I like to take most things, is just having an open mind to how you're going to change and how they're going to change over time and how you can complement each other. So just being really aware of your strengths in the relationship, their strengths in the relationship, and how you can build a life that supports each other's, you know, optimal joy. So, and just doing that with kindness and not with shame and judgment, and just being open to how that unravels, whether you just adopted a dog or whether you've had them for a few years and you went through a move and they're showing new behaviors, just to be open to who they are and who you're becoming, and navigate that beautifully as a team. That is what it means to me.
Yes. I love that. And I love how you refer to it as, you know, a relationship. You talked about the strengths. You talked about, you know, checking on yourself, checking on them. It really just wrapped up beautifully everything that we talked about in this episode. And Val, I am so happy that you were able to come on today to chat with us, to tell us all about you, all about your businesses, because you have two. That's awesome. And all about how you just stay more in tune with yourself. That way you can be more in sync with the dog, your dogs, you know, your clients' dogs, and just how you, you know, really channel that light and love energy into basically everything that you do. I so appreciate you coming on. And if you could just tell everyone again one last time where to find you on Instagram, where to find the Communal Canine, and I will have all of that linked in the show notes as well.
Yes. So Fern Ferns, my main bread and butter and where I show the most of my personal personality, is on Instagram at FUR_AND_FERNS. So fur like a dog's hair and ferns like the plant. And when you get on my page, you'll understand why I chose that name. And then the Communal Canine, which is also on Instagram, and it's just Communal Canine. So TheComunalCanine. And that's just really based on building community in the canine world rather than separation. So you can find us there. And we're working on the website / extra stuff, but for now that's been working for us. And we would love to have you.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you for coming on, and thank you, dear listener, for listening to another episode of the Dog Mom Mentality Podcast. If you got something out of this episode, you loved it, you feel inspired by it, then please be sure to leave a rating or a review, preferably both, and go follow our listener, Val, on Instagram. And if you don't already follow Dog Mom Mentality on Instagram, please be sure to follow us and share this episode with a friend or on your story. We would greatly appreciate it. And I will talk to you next week.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Dog Mom Mentality Podcast. My name is Caroline. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Dog Mom Mentality. And if you haven't already, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you are listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And if nothing else, I hope you get to play with your dog today.